Heita heita hola ndey because Zimbabwe muhle muri eZimbabwe lingali chona njani umthwakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle. If you're tuned in right now, you tuned into Live Talk, The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America, on Tuesday, June 15, 2021. Muri eZimbabwe umthwakazo muhle. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, Muriya Zimbabwe, welcome to The Connection. We're coming to you live from Studio 7, our Voice of America in Washington, D.C. Tonight on The Connection, we focus on the latest COVID-19 measures implemented by government, which target curbing the spread of coronavirus in Zimbabwe. We're also going to be speaking to youth in Zimbabwe about the campaigns they're running, which focus on educating people on voter registration. As we wrap up, we speak to multi-award-winning actor Wongai Shaba about her work as an actor and her most recent venture, Zim Excellence Podcast, which looks to shed light on the works of successful Zimbabweans worldwide. If you're looking to join us, Muriya Zimbabwe, you can call us live on air. The number is +1 202 619 2077. For those that are streaming this conversation live on our three Facebook pages, we're live as we speak. Kindly share the program with your networks. Also, remember to press the like button so we see ukuthi ngempela ngempela zulukandaba likhona njalo livukele uhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo sisonke like so. Also feel free to write the comments in the comment section and we'll be reading your comments live on air. Now without wasting time, Muriya Zimbabwe, let us delve into tonight's discussion. First up, an update on coronavirus, COVID-19, as a pandemic responsible for taking millions of lives across the globe, thousands of Zimbabwe. According to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health, Zimbabwe currently has 40,077 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 37,027 recoveries, and 1,635 deaths. Now, last night alone, Zimbabwe had 2,921 PCR tests conducted, 118 new cases detected, 23 recoveries, and 3 deaths. Of those 3 deaths, 2 are in Mandikaland and 1 in Mashonaland Central. The country currently has 1,415 active COVID-19 cases. To date, 693,568 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. 414,365 have taken both the first and the second jab. Currently, places under total lockdown are Karoi, Kariba, and Kwekwe. This is as a result of the detection of the Indian variant of the COVID-19 pandemic in those respective areas. Now, to hear more about the latest measures implemented by government, let us head over to a clip that we have, courtesy of Open Parley ZW. This is Vice President Chiwenga, who is also the Minister of Health, explaining more to the press about the measures he gave on Saturday as he announced the latest COVID-19 restrictions. To watch the full clip, kindly head over to Open Parley's Facebook page.
Government will strengthen testing and contact tracing, as well as quarantine, contacts and isolating confirmed cases. For regarding public transport, the operators are to adhere to recommended passenger numbers. They should ensure that all passengers are wearing their face masks properly. On boarding, they must have their temperature checked and their hands sanitized. Public transport operators shall disinfect their vehicles every trip. 5. With regards to gatherings, the following measures are to be implemented. All gatherings except funerals are banned. These gatherings include, but not limited to, weddings, church gatherings, music festivals, and sport activities. Funerals shall be limited to 30 people. All COVID-19 funerals will be supervised by health personnel. All workshops and meetings are to be held virtually. In addition, all offices, both government and private, are to decongest by 50%, except for offices connected with essential services.
Well, Mudie Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Vice President Constantino Chiwenga. He's also the Minister of Health. That was a clip that we have courtesy of Open Parley, whereby he was talking about the latest COVID-19 restrictions placed in Zimbabwe. Now, as mentioned earlier on, Kwekwe, Kariba and Karoi are currently under a total lockdown as a result of the detection of the Indian variant of the COVID-19 pandemic in those areas. This effectively started over the weekend. To hear more, one of our correspondents got in touch with Mr. Donald Mujiri, who is the spokesperson of the Ministry of Health. Let us hear what Mr. Mujiri had to say.
Akawanikwa kuhurungwe Karoi nekaripa pamazuva matatu apera saka ministry vazore utano nekurerwa kwevana dati zvokuti vane yatingati muchirungu lockdown kunzvimbo idzodzo with immediate effect. Avo vanogara kunze kwehurungwe Karipa vari kuyambirwa kuti kufamba kuve kusina kunyanya kuita kunzvimbo idzodzo. Avowo vari muhurungwe nemukaripa vari kumanikidzirwa kuti vange vari mupari zvino iyo vaona kuti zviri zvekufamba sei then pachendo chazokutitemena kuti poiswa mazuva akawanda zvakadii nehurumende.
Mudie Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Mr. Donald Mujiri, who is the spokesperson of the Ministry of Health. Now, to help us understand the latest COVID-19 measures better, joining us live via Skype is the founder of Community Podium, Umnumzana Nkosikhona Dibiti. Dibiti, welcome to the program. Bafo unjani?
I'm all right, Mike. Kushak, all right.
I'm great. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us, Bafo. First up, let's talk COVID-19, the reason why we have you here. Let's talk a little more about the latest statistics that have been released. Walk us through your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, well, noticing from the update that we get every day since the pandemic started, you'll notice that there's been a serious increase in terms of the numbers of deaths. In the last 7 days, we had 596 new cases and 26 deaths, which is quite a lot. Mm-hmm. From the time we had COVID-19, even last year, round about the same time. So it's more like fourfold increase, actually. So the measures that have been put in place probably can help curtail such deaths and such infections of the COVID-19 pandemic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, to delve a little deeper here, obviously now to touch on the biggest discussion that we have, the latest COVID-19 restrictions that were placed by our government, I guess, which started yesterday. The first question I'm a little curious about is, people are treating this as though it's a total lockdown, and yet these are just restrictions. Are people understanding this?
No, it's actually business as usual in Bulawayo. Mm-hmm. Business as usual in Bulawayo. So these measures are, the only difference is, you know, the issues of meetings, workshops that have been totally banned. But otherwise, every other thing is business as usual, up to 6 p.m. for even vendors, local stores up to 4 p.m. So you won't notice that there are new measures, actually, because people are on about their business and moving forward with life. So there's a gap around, okay, how is it going to be enforced? How are people supposed to do it? The measures are clear, but then the issues around, you know, enforcement, how is it going to be done? How are people going to, you know, the balance around livelihood? And we've been in this path this year in January with a lockdown as well. So these are the issues that are there within the space that we work with. People understand the language of lockdown more than the measures. If you say measures, people feel like, okay, so I can do other things, but I have to be maybe at home before 10 p.m. I have to close my shop at 6 p.m. So that's where. But otherwise, every other business is going ahead. There was the issue also on the measures of 50% workforce. I'm yet to see that. I'm not sure, because just looking at an overview of the city of Bulawayo, people, it's business as usual. When people are going home, and trying to get transport with the Zupco buses and things like that. So that's the picture that is there. So I'm sure, in my view, there is a gap a bit about the COVID-19 new measures that have been highlighted, you know, gaps around when does it end, is it likely to be reviewed, is there a statutory instrument that has been signed by the president into law about the new measures that have come into place, intercity travel is still acceptable, what's going on around that, you know, we have hotspots that have been named, and the Minister of Health and Childcare keeps updating. I saw Bulawayo Emakhandeni is now declared a hotspot, but I was wondering, okay, a hotspot, how many cases, what happened, how are people in Makhandeni supposed to do it? Like for me, I mean, Bulawayo, I have no idea how is that handled. Then there was an issue of northern areas. I don't know what northern areas are in the city of Bulawayo. So those are the gaps that are there, and these are the conversations that are street talk. Emakhandeni so with a corona. And the people in Makhandeni, they have no idea what's going on. It's like an update that has nothing to do with them as a community.
All right, Mr. Dibiti, let me hold you there for a second, and then we're going to come to you shortly. There's an audio bite that I would like to play of the former Minister of Health, Dr. Henry Mazorera, who comments a little more on these lockdowns. And then, of course, we're going to come back to you, Mr. Dibiti. We're also going to hear more from Professor Solwayo Ngwenya, who's going to explain his thoughts on the lockdown procedures in Zimbabwe. So first off, Muriye Zimbabwe, let's hear more from Dr. Henry Mazorera. It seems as though we're having technology issues. Okay, so I'll come back. Let me come back to you, Mr. Dibiti, whilst we try to sort out the audio bites of Dr. Mazorera. Okay, so I hear we have the bites. Let's head over to Dr. Henry Mazorera.
Sekutaura kwatakaita kare nowirira nepfungo yakuti guta raita chirwere ndorinofanira kubaiwa Jackson relockdown. Saka matargeted lockdowns tinowirira nawo in principle. Dambudziko riripo nderekuti izvo umbovo huri kushandiswa kuita malockdowns awo tinoona kunge wakaremara. Chokutanga hurumende haisi kushiya nesu umbovo hwavanahwo, data ravanaro riri kukonzera kuti vaite malockdown aya. Then toenda pamalockdowns achishaiwa ari kuitiwa haasi effective, haashandi. Tikatarisa lockdown iri kukwekwa mabia hall, kukwekwa hakuna bia hall chaiyo inonzi bawari area, saka kungotaura nezvemabia hall. Kune mabottle store nedzimwe nzvimbo dzokunwira dziri private. Dzese dziri kushanda vanhu vari kungoraradza. Mamarketplace akavhurika, ndoo kune vanhu vanonge vachingokwesherana vasina kupfeka mamask. Hapana enforcement yelockdown.
Well, Muriye Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Dr. Henry Mazorera, who is the former Minister of Health, speaking effectively on the lockdowns in Zimbabwe. Now, as mentioned earlier on, Studio 7 also got in touch with the director of Mpilo Hospital, Professor Solwayo Ngwenya. Let us hear what Professor Ngwenya had to say about these lockdowns, and then we'll go back to Dibiti.
So kuchiene, lenhlandla lezo kuthiwa ngama waves amabili la sedlulile kumnyaka ophelileyo laleli yenze ngoJanuwari kuchiyene kathesi okwakathesi ibhubhane leli liyanamathela kakhulu okokuthi ungahamba lapho kulesiminyeminye khona nxa kulo muntu oyedwa olalo ibhubhane lolu use lunamathele abantu abaningi njalo abantu bayagula masinyane abaningi bachiya masinyane abasahlali kakhulu lokuyana ukuthi umuntu uyahlale banje ubhubhane lolu yikho abanye abantu sebeqala lokuthi bafele ezindlini siyaxwayisa kakhulu bahlabezi ukuthi lizinanzelele njengoba nalibona lokhu engikhuluma lapha emsakazweni ukuthi ilizwi lifike ebantwini abantu abazalalela bazaphila abantu abangalaleliyo njalo asazi ukuthi kuzayenzakala ngiphambili kodwa yikho silokhu sixwayisa sesisendaweni embi kakhulu mahlabezulu kathesi njengoba sasikhulumile ngesikhathi ngomqando lo ibhubhane leli liyamemetheka okwamagama esingazange sikubone kula mahlandla amabili adlulileyo.
All right, Muriya Zimbabwe, that was our Professor Solwayo Ngwenya explaining the importance of our people respecting the new COVID-19 regulations placed on Zimbabwe as we speak. Now, before we head over to Mr. Dewiti, let us take a look at abantu batsini emakhasini ethu amathathu ku Facebook and we're going to chokwadi pa VOA Studio 7 pane vanhu vakati one day varipo vari kutepfenyira nesu tinotenda zvikurusa munhu wese ari kupinda muchirongwa. I see Frank Zulu ari kuti Dave Mike Mkoma Frank tinotenda zvikurusa. Beauty Jani kuti hello Maikoro Maikoro Moro. Hello Beauty zviri kufamba here. Boss Jaya Kuruya Paluti Linjani put Mike I say apila boss watching you from Gaborone na kwele Botswana. Dumelang tate boss ke a leboga. Thank you so much for joining us. Hard Life ari kuti Itai Basa Mkoma tiri kuno ku Mozambique province. Vaisa namba yake tinotenda zvikurusa Mkoma Hard Life nekupinda muchirongwa. Lavender ari kuti tiri kuno ku Zimbabwe chibaba baba tinotenda zvikurusa Lavender. Umasha Uti, they're using COVID restrictions to avoid election. They're slowly running out of ideas. Thank you so much for your 2 cents. For everybody that's looking to join us, Linga Kofi Zulugandaba, +1 202 619 2077 is the number. Linga Kofi Njalo, Lilako Upala, Imibo Nenu, Ema Kasine Tua Mabili Skuluma Nje, we're broadcasting on VOA Shona Ganyela, on VOA Ndebele, Ganyela Gu VOA Studio 7. So you can write your comments and we're going to be reading them live on air. Back to you. Mr. DBT, are you still there on the line? So, siyabona usanda ukuzukuthi owayengu Minister of Health, Dr. Henry Matsorera, he was giving his 2 cents on the lockdown. Esithi hayi uhulumeni uyamshayela ihlombe because of the way that they're implementing ama lockdown, putting specific cities, khuluma nje Karoi, Kwekwe, and Kariba are under total lockdown. The rest of the country is under these restrictions. Kodwa uthi people are not abiding by these lockdown regulations merely because abantu abazwisisi. Uhulumeni is not presenting all the data ahead of putting these lockdowns. Let's start off there. Awusitshela umbono wakho.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Yabona indaba ye lockdown or these measures or localized lockdown. You look at the statistics from yesterday for Matabeleland North as an example. The whole Matabeleland North is about 49 active cases of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So you find that these updates are the source of information that we have. We can't share anything beyond this, even in the communities. We share these. So those are the same people who then say, hi, now we have 49 cases. You know, that type of thinking. So the data that is being received, for example, Bulawayo has 171 cases, but the hotspot is Makandeni, Nkulumane, and the northern part. Mm-hmm. The information is not complete. What's happening? What do we do? What measures can be implemented at area by area? Mm-hmm. I've noticed the localized lockdown, in Kariba, Kwekwe, Lase, Urungwe, Ngan. You notice that in that lockdown, you speak to someone in Kegu, they tell you, no, business as usual, we are doing what we are doing, and things like that. It's not because people don't want to comply to the measures that government is putting in place to assist us as citizens, because they are better placed to understand what is before us and what is likely going to happen. To keep that, we need more information in terms of understanding what's going on, what are people supposed to do, and how is that going to be enforced. Because if people in Kwekwe are saying, I know it's business as usual, everything is going on well, I can go anywhere I want at the same time, you will notice that at that juncture, the complacency that the vice president mentioned in his statement a few days ago is a complacency that is also mixed with information gaps. Mm-hmm. There is not enough information to make proper decision to then say, okay, what happens? Is there contact tracing being done? Is there isolation centers in the hotspots that have been put up? What's going on? Where are people that have been affected in those communities that are hotspots supposed to do? Are they places where they are being quarantined or isolated whatsoever? So those are that's the information that we're missing already in the communities. And in that information gap, there's going to be something that will fill it. It's going to be fake news, wrong information, malicious reports. At the end of the day, we have a bigger tree to cut because people will be sharing whatever they wish to share about a community. For example, in my content right now, you'll be amazed what people think about their community. Some are actually defending to say, "Agula tejalo la pema content." Abantu wakona wakula, abagula corona ngabanga asingabazi. You know, so it becomes a back and forth around kutkona. What's really happening? How is that community supposed to work? Can we have maybe action teams help in the health sector going into that community, explain what's going on, where people are being kept, what is supposed to happen? Konakana, it will help us in terms of keeping and also strengthen efforts by government itself to keep the spread of COVID-19. But if we just see in a statement, in an update, Makandeni is a hotspot, it doesn't mean anything to someone in Makandeni because they're like, oh, hotspot, oh, so many, we still go and sell MCGeni, we still go to the shops and sanitize as usual. So that's my thinking around that, which we need more data, we need more clarity around that issue in terms of, you know, even if it's localized lockdown, let the people, the local community accept that this is the situation within around them and what they should do. If we do that, it will be easier for us to holistically and have citizens also participate in this process of keeping the pandemic spread.
Right. Let's delve a little deeper on that one. See, he still does everything that they can to make sure abantu bazwisise ukuthi elizweni kuyinokwenzakalayo, because when we talk about COVID-19, siyabona ama updates on Twitter, siyezwa ama promo on radio, siyabona ama promo ku TV, siyabona sebeyazama ukusebenzisa ama artists ukuthi bafundise uzulu about COVID-19. What more can they do to make sure abantu bazwisise ukuthi kahle what exactly is happening in the country? What more can government do on that one?
I think what government can do is actually to have a multi-stakeholder approach to this process. Mm-hmm. Because if we have got, you know, a measures approach, it has its own limitations. We have different stakeholders. Maybe the immediate stakeholder that we have is maybe the city of Lawa. It has a health department. It should also be in a position to give us information that is localized in our local languages, that is relevant to the communities where we stay. Because right now we can say Makandeni is a hotspot, but people will still leave Nkulumane to go there. People will still leave Hillside to go there. Mm-hmm. And if you meet relatives and enjoy themselves. But let's have a multi-stakeholder approach. After the government has put measures, what are the stakeholders supposed to do? Where can they find information? If there are questions from the communities, who can answer those questions? So you find that an statutory instrument or measures remain as measures that are there, that have been put in place, that are subject to review by the government. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, stakeholders that can play a huge role in this process are in the dark. They've got many gray areas in terms of information gaps, in terms of as civil society, what can we do? Tina, as city of Lawyer, as the youth organizations, as the media, what can we do to help in terms of, you know, and partner with government in this regard? So a multi-stakeholder approach would help, because those in the civil society probably are asking themselves, okay, so what happens now? That's why they then, if you read widely, even on Twitter, people are talking about, no, government wants to stop this and that. That has nothing to do with COVID-19. Why? Because stakeholders that engage with these communities are also not in the know about what's happening and how government intends to implement these measures, at what point. We have seen a statement from the Zimbabwe Republic Police warning members of the public, but it would have been easy for even the Zimbabwe Republic Police to engage stakeholders and say, okay, this is what we're doing. Let's engage the people with shops. Let's engage the people with bookstores. Let's engage the churches. Right now, after these measures were put in place, others were asking, are we supposed to go to church or not? Mm-hmm. You know, and these are the gaps, but the church can play a role. I'm trying to name stakeholders that can play a role in terms of, you know, helping in keeping the spread of COVID-19 in our country.
Now, ngifuna ukungenela khonapha. We heard okushiwo ngu Professor Solwayo Ngwenya in the bite that we just recently played. Are people understanding the dangers of this? We kuluma lapha about a third wave. A city njalo, Zimbabwe is now on the brink of a winter. Already Zimbabwe is in a winter. Abantu bayazwisisa na about indaba le third wave?
I'll answer this question using a context that I saw a Zimnyame plum tree some 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was asking the communities there, do you understand about the Indian variant? People always localize issues. They will say, we are about to see HIV Jackson. We need about 20 kilometers to go where HIV Jackson. So you are a man cutting a $2, which is cutting pitting paint. So Konkana, it becomes a stumbling block to every effort we are trying to make. You know, why? Because people localize issues. So the Indian variant, so for me to stop the Indian variant in my own life, I should go and get the vaccine, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's true or not, but that's the thinking. But with the actual vaccine, umuntu says it's only going to impact the $2. $2. So I'm not going to go there, you know. So when you're talking about the variant, you know, there's an Indian variant, it's more deadly than this one, but people will tell you their own problems in terms of achieving the process of saying, okay, this thing is dangerous. But the feeling is the vaccine, but there are challenges, especially in this remote community, to then say the only hospital that would do that is the Plumtree Hospital, and no, there's no other place closer to them except that one. So people will be like, okay, I can sacrifice a day, but I have issues around how do I get there.
Siyazi vele ukuthi DVT indaba le vaccine ke yahlupa a couple of weeks back. Ama vaccines ngokwawo, are they now easily available for abantu like they were when the program began?
Well, for Bulawayo, there was a shortage of the second jab. Mm-hmm. So there was a long time around the shortage of the second jab, only about a day or so ago, where I saw reports saying the vaccine is now available. But you find that in that gap, there are many things that take place, you know, because this jab will take EMA clinics, EMA Logichini, EMA clinics, Wonka City Council, made sure which the jab is there. But now you find that because there was a shortage of the second dose, so those who wanted the first couldn't, only those who were going for the second could. So if you look at the statistics about the how the vaccination process is going, it's at a very slow pace. Mm-hmm. It's either people don't understand that this can help, or people are just maybe looking at the challenges of them accessing it or the process of accessing. So in that process, they may be less liberalized and not centralize the process of even accessing AMA vaccines. Because we're Lula and people get the vaccine. I also noticed there was a school one where children were being vaccinated for other things. But the process was so easy because it was done at a structured level, at a school level. Mm-hmm. So in that, what we're saying is vaccine conversation is very low in the communities right now. But now, since we're going to wave, any amateur is stronger than before. But then to conceptualize that, which is stronger than before, I can't afford to go and get vaccinated where the vaccination center is, it becomes a serious challenge. Or even to say, but so let's Angela, what can we do as a community to help? In the Plumtree community I was talking about, they've got community health care workers. So I was asking them, Lingam Cholo Mutole COVID, they are men's. Singam counselor, Simchel Utkuzava right, I'm strong, then be healthy, which was on letters. So that's as far as they know. Mm. You know. So if we're talking about the measures, then they were having challenges with implementing the lockdown measures themselves because of young people and their energy. So if young people don't understand what's going on, and it becomes a challenge because the enforcement is a big on the weaker side.
Says Kangela ke the latest restrictions, delving a little deeper on that. Umbuzo wami ukuqala kuwe DBD is, how are these restrictions affecting impilo zabantu abasakhulayo in Zimbabwe, the lives of the youth?
Well, in having conversations with youth, I'm a young person myself. Mm-hmm. You notice that the lockdown itself, from the onset, affected our livelihoods in a very big way. Mm-hmm. We actually had the recent one in January, but now we're trying to then maybe find our feet and try to do one or two things and feel a lot. But you notice that the measures are silent about how people can leave. Maybe probably we can say maybe 8 to 4 is business hours. Mm-hmm. Then every young person will be in town doing what they can do in that 8 to 4 p.m. time. But however, we have a crisis now. To then say, which kule measures are enforced. How do young people, how do we as young people also be part of that process of saying which we are trying to curtail that process? So now the bigger conversation is matters of appeal livelihood issues, say appealers, nige slalem dini, nige abanye bathi kona ah manje njonga sawuthi ama meeting asabikhona manje senza njani imali abayisiphila ngalokhu lalokhu lalokho okwenziwa ngama meeting wona la abanye work in the hospitality industry. Last week I was in Victoria Falls, it said because that city is purely hospitality, so if there are no meetings, the hotels are closed, the restaurants, it's takeaways only, no sitting. So it gets complex. It gets to the core of someone's livelihood to then say, how do I survive? Because every other expense that is a fixed expense, like your rent house, doesn't stop because they are measures. You know, so there's this whole, I wouldn't call it complacency, but people, there's that balance, a short time, which, right, kungathiwa measures, thina siya survive njani. Kungathiwa sokuvuliwe, everyone is back and up and working. So for young people, that's the problem that we have in terms of, how do we survive? What in this
DVD says, abanye abosomabhizimusi, other businessmen, of course, saying, of course, they understand the fact that government has to do what it has to do to save lives. Before anything, lives come first. And they are very thankful at the fact that they didn't have a total shutdown like they did at the beginning of the year. Cutting down the workforce seems to be a more approachable approach, even though it's still a very big thing in terms of the fact that bakhona abantu who are not going to be paid, bakhona abanye abantu who will go some time without work because the workplaces now have to be cut down to 50%. How does this then affect the young people in the workforce?
Well, the young people are the majority in Zimbabwe. So when we're talking about young people, we're talking about us who sell sweets. We're talking about us who sell cakes. We're talking about us who sell this and the other thing. And we always flood the city center to try and do these things. You find. So now the problem that is there is even those who are working, if in the private sector, I'm sure government pays full salary. But in the private sector, if you're working 2 weeks, definitely you will not expect a full salary. That is not possible. Because the business, that's how the business world works. What you have put in as working hours is what you will get. It still affects us in a long way. While in the mood of saving lives, let's have at least a conversation about the variant itself. I heard a professor talk a Kuluma here variant. It's some high up there language. Let's talk about the variant. How does it mutate? I have heard this word mutate,
right,
but I'm not sure what it means. Is there a different feeling from the different from the ones that we had? Is a cough a part of the variant? Because I want to tell us with corona and things like that. So you will find that in that process, if we are get to understand, guys, in your 2 weeks away from work, you are saving your life, you have to safeguard. But in that 2 weeks, Mike, people will be hustling. So 2 weeks of 17, 2 weeks is the impact, hustling, doing this and that, buying this and selling. And you find that at the end of the day, we've got more busier people than we had before. We can say the office is 50%. But the streets, yes, 100%.
All right. Dibiti, let me hold you there for 1 second, and then we're going to come back to you shortly to wrap up our conversation. There's another bite that I would like to play in Muria, Zimbabwe, of a Warren Park resident, Mr. Benjamin Majindu, who talks about the COVID-19 pandemic and how these restrictions or these lockdowns in different areas are affecting the lives of youth in Zimbabwe. Let us head over to that audio bite of Mr. Majindu, and then we're going to come back and discuss that with Mr. Dibiti.
Ini ndinoona sokuti vana vakawanda vakaita nhombo pa during COVID time inei. Asi pane zvikonzero zvinondinoona zvinenge zviviri kana kuti zvitatu. Chikonzero chokutanga ndechekuti vana vedu vanasikomana nevasikana vakungoswera vari mumamisha vasingaendi kuchikoro, vachingotenderera, vachitamba, vachiita misikanzwa yakasiyana-siyana inosvika pakuti vanodanana nokuti zvozvosvika pakurara vose nokuti vari kushaya, vari kuswera vachingori mumamisha. Chechipiri, vanasikana vamwe vacho vakaita vaipiwa nhumbu kana kuti vari kupiwa nhumbu namanje nevanhu vakura. vanhu vavabereki vamwe vanotori nokuti vanenge vane mari voita lu vana vaya kuda kunyenga vana vanonyaya yemari yokuti vatenga mazepi kana mabhesikiti chaiwo mwana otoona sokutoti zvinhu zviri raiti nokuti anoswera achinguvapo achiona baba vavo vachiita zvavanoita votopedzisira afurirwa mwana wayomitiswa nababa vane mhuri yavo kana kuti nababa vakakura kudarika iye even vasina mhuri zvimwe zvacho zvichikonzerwa zve nepeer pressure kuti vana vaakusangana vamwe vanga vari kumabhoarding vamwe vanga vari kumaday schools vanga vari kumareseva nevamwe vanga vari kumatauni vachiendawo kumareseva mafungiro anenge akasiyana mwana wakurira mureseva nomwana wakurira mutauni vanhu vakatosiyana vanhu vaviri vavo saka pavana vanosangana vanenge vakutofurirana uya uya wanga akurira kumareseva wachati saka ndasaririra dendakwanisawo kuonawo shamwari yangu inondipawo mari kana kuti inonditengerawo mabhesikitsi kana kuti inonditengera doro saka ndinoona sokuti lockdown iyi yakaita kuti vana vazhinji vakomana nevasikana vaite umusikanzwa inovanosanganisira kuti vasikana vanozowanikwa vaya vakaita nhumbu dzakawandisa ende vamwe vacho havazotombonoongororwa kuti utano hwacho hwemunhu hwaanodanana naye hwakamira sei vanozonozviona vatova kuchipatara.
All right, thank you so much there to Mr. Mazhundu. Tinotenda zvikurusa va Benjamin Mazhundu nemashoko enyu siyabonga. Mr. Tibiti, back to you. You heard there ukuthi yena umnumzana Mazhundu ubethini. Talking about udaba lolu lokuthi izikolo zikhanya ngani sezivaliwe phansi kohlelo lolu. Which some parents are saying is a worrying thing. What's your take on that one?
Yeah, well, it's good. You know, which is called Zivalwe at this period in time, and they are likely going to open. The dates for opening are before, you know, month end of June. So it should be the 28th, if I'm correct. So what we have here is, even when government announced the measures, there was a conversation around that to then say, okay, what if the dates of schools comes and we have not... nothing has changed around the measures that have been put in place. What happens, you know, to the children going to school? So, Mike, we need a multi-stakeholder thing. We can't have information gaps. Like Njagatesa, what's going on? We are on the second day of the measures that are being implemented. There are many gray areas. Okay, so what's happening? The updates are always the same. We expected maybe another update, other updates that are a bit comprehensive so that people can make decisions based on what. So we've seen every other government agencies responding. The Sports and Recreation Commission responds, we are banning this. The arts sector, we are banning this. So it's like the police are also warning the members of the public. So you find that in that process, the public themselves are not so sure how and what is going to come after this process. So we need that kind of approach. If it gives information to stakeholders, it will be easy for that information to be cascaded further down to Mike, right now, if I'm having a conversation with you and say, how is Bulawayo? They say Bulawayo is business as usual. It might seem like I'm misleading people. But it's business as usual, in my view. So if I say that, people will then say, so which means these measures are just a measure. So you will find that process, kuzabanzima, which is implement any measure, because there is no follow-up information that is comprehensive in those measures, except for statements. Statements don't mean much to an ordinary person.
All right. Mr. Tibiti, unfortunately, our time is up here. But thank you so much for taking time out to be with us here. We really appreciate it. Appreciate your input as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bafo. Thanks.
Well, Mudia Zimbabwe, that was Mr. Nkosi Khona Tibiti joining us live panu pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki on Live Talk, the connection from Bulawayo going to Chuzia Tunga. If you're just tuning in right now, you're tuned into Live Talk, the connection, Mudia Zimbabwe. I'm your host, Mike Wobe. Remember, if you'd like to join us, you can call us live on +1 202 619 2077. For those streaming on our Facebook pages, please continue sharing the program with your networks. And most importantly, lingakhohlwi zulukandaba msakhanganwe. Write your comments in the comment section and we're going to be reading them live on air.
kudarika. Yesai kusaungana, yesai kusaenda parusinzi. Nekuti COVID-19 chirwere chiriko. Garai muchisanitaiza, garai unekako kasanitaiza.
That was a message there from Mr. T. Darira. Swa inindin Darira. Mr. Ja Signal partnering up with Roots Africa. And Gezai Maoko, Regai Kusaungana, COVID-19. Chirwere Chiripo. Thank you so much for that message from Mr. T. Darira and Roots Africa. Early on, Muriya Zimbabwe, I mentioned that tonight on The Connection, we're also going to be talking to Zimbabwean youth about their voter registration campaigns and the importance of registering to vote. Before we head over to what the youth are doing, let us hear from Mr. Solomon Bobosibunu of the Election Resource Center. Let's hear what he had to say about the current voter registration process. Well, Muriya Zimbabwe, you are hearing there from Solomon Bobosibunu of the Election Resource Center. And pane zvinhu zvakawanda zviri kuita kuti vanhu vatadze kundonyoresa kuvhota. To hear more about why this is important in terms of voter registration and why Zimbabwean youth, to be specific, need to understand the importance of registering to vote over the weekend, I had a conversation with Ashley Funye of Citizens Manifesto. Muriya Zimbabwe, let us hear to what Mr. Funye had to say.
Thank you very much, my brother. This is a very critical issue in our country, and you know it's a democratic right. You know, wars have been waged, demonstrations have been done, all in the name of claiming that right to vote. Voter registration is very important because number one, if people are not registered, it gives leverage to those who are in power to start to rig, because they know that the numbers that they will be using, they will actually rig. So that's why it's very important for every citizen to practice that right to vote, to register actually, so that they can be able to vote, so that we can counter the rigging mechanism that has been, you know, a cancer of Africa. So we need to make sure that we cover all those gaps and make sure that everyone who has potential to register and vote must do so. And also it's important because this is where citizens start to speak their voice. This is where citizens start to express themselves, because it's a process that leads to the selection or election of leaders. Leaders who are going to determine the policy, who are going to determine how this country is being driven, we're going to determine how the relationship of this country and other countries is.
Recently, we've seen organizations such as ZEC and other organizations that focus on this, I guess, program in voter registration, highlighting the fact that the amount of people that have registered so far to vote is very low, especially when we look at the youth of Zimbabwe. Now, considering the fact that there's a large number of young Zimbabweans who are dissatisfied with their leaders, regardless of which political party they stand by, why are young people still not turning out in their large numbers to go register to vote?
Thank you very much. That's a very, very critical question, I think, that we should answer as a generation. You know, as young people, there is a question of hope. A lot of young people have lost hope in the political processes. And it's about how these have been executed and implemented. And so on that note, you find that young people, they are failing to directly participate in political process due to lack of confidence and loss of hope.
So then, actually, how do we rectify such a situation? Because, I mean, 2023 is around the corner for Zimbabwe. And like you mentioned, young people need to start making sure that their voices are heard. But if they've lost confidence in the system that is supposed to let their voices be heard, how do we rectify that?
Exactly. That's very fundamental. One of the ways that we can rectify that, I think, as I mentioned, that people haven't been given enough education about political education, about the political processes. And so that will be our starting point to say, no, we should make sure that we educate these people. It's not like they're illiterate. They are literate, but they are not understanding the importance and the impact of that. So we need to make sure that we have a political program that will educate and make them conscious about those things. And then number two, it's also upon the civil society, the political parties, to make sure that we start to have political processes. We start to engage at that level. You know, it starts from the community. It starts at a ward level. So if they start to see progress at ward level or at district level, so we need to make sure that it starts with the transparency and accountability of leaders. Whilst when we see that, for instance, if we are in a resident of Kaltripai and you have voted for a leader and then they start to make effective change, that will give confidence to a young person to say, no, but my vote has counted. My vote has led to a change because this person has implemented things.
What words would you give to a young Zimbabwean who, like you mentioned, has lost confidence in the system?
Every generation has got its own leaders. And it is the duty of every generation to identify their leaders and make sure that we fulfill a generational mandate that we have. And as young people, which I'm also a young person, it is very important for us to register to vote. We are not doing this for ourselves. We are not doing it for others. We are doing it for those that are going to come after us. This shall be our legacy, a legacy of overturning a political process, overturning and implementing a political culture that is very conducive with active citizens who question and who implement what is important in their community. So let's get out in our numbers and go and register to vote and make a difference. Every vote counts.
Amuri Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Umnumzana Ashley Punye. Thank you so much to Mr. Ashley Punye for taking time out for that interview. You heard it there, Zulukandaba Zimbabwe Muhle. He's urging the youth to invest in this process. Zulukandaba, asingakaqhubekeli phambili ngohlelo, asikhangele ukuthi abantu bathini kukhasi lethu LVOA Ndebele. Before we continue with our program, let us check ukuthi abantu bathini emakhasini ethu kuFacebook. Ngiyabona ukuthi kukhasi lethu LVOA Ndebele uDiana Mdlongo uyabhala uthi connected, asiyabonga Diana. Leonard Komtumbu uthi connected at 2000 hours, thank you so much. Umzila uyabhala uthi my data uyakhala, hayi kodwa siyabonga ngokungena kuhlelo. Mzila Anele Moyo uyabhala uthi linjani put mic, hayi ngiyaphila. Anele Rebecca Gwizi uthi salibonani basakazi be Studio 7, siyabonga kakhulu Rebecca ngokungena kuhlelo. Kukhasi lethu le VOA Studio 7 and abokuza evumukanyora ama comments muri Zimbabwe atinoma verenga. Ngiyabona ukuthi uNelson uyabhala ukuthi hi Mike Atripano pa Mozambique, bon dia. Thank you so much Nelson for joining us. Brian Mfumira Rutanzi, hi Mike Tripa Zimbabwe, Karoi watching. Kuri saiko Karoi hanzi muri pasi pechirongwa che lockdown 2-0 kuti muri kurarama sei. Tingo Mabiza saying I'm watching you live from South Africa. Thank you so much Tingo. Alexio is saying hanzi Tripa bulawayo apo Mwonai live apa show. Thank you so much, Mudia Zimbabwe. We really appreciate you all. Now, as we speak, Mudia Zimbabwe, Lingakotluguti, you can write your comments on our comments section on VOA Ndebele, Ganyela Gu VOA Studio 7, Mudia Zimbabwe, on our three Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and of course, VOA Ndebele. Uhlelo lwabasakhulayo, Lilami Umaykobe.
Zikipanda poe kama umawiza, ame kwa edu artist, aka Mr. Nkulumis kiwa nge veneki. Guys, COVID-19, abaibiza nge corona, inte kona. Pambili nge social distancing, askeze nye zanja, always stay safe, stay home. Last name.
Easy, machita, easy.
Shout out there to Mr. Nkulumis Kiwa Ngevenekula, my wiza, for that message. For more of his music and his work, follow him on Twitter at Mawiza Online, Zulugandaba. Now, tonight on The Connection, as we wrap up Mudia Zimbabwe, we have a special conversation with a young Zimbabwean who's doing amazing things in the United States of America, joining the ranks of Abantu Abafana Lo Sibongile Mlambo and other accomplished actors in New York and of course, across the world. Tonight, in our segment where we profile Abantu Abasakhulayo, profiling the youth of Zimbabwe, we speak to Wongai Shaba, a multi-award-winning actor and the founder and the host of a Zim Excellence podcast. I caught up with Wongai over the weekend and we spoke about her career in acting, especially a movie titled Patiri in the Promised Land, a movie which she stars in, which I personally believe tells a story which many young Zimbabweans who have had the opportunity of traveling abroad, studying, and of course seeking other work in different countries, not just in America, but even Gwele South Africa, Lagwanya Mazwe, have experienced. Let us head over to my conversation with Wongai.
Patiri in the Promised Land was kind of based off of the experience I was going through with immigration in the United States, and I was telling a friend about it. She had a web series, and I'd been an extra in the web series, and we had lunch, and she had said to me, I had this vision that I'm going to write a film for you. And then I said, oh, that's so interesting. At the same time, I tell her all the stuff that I'm going through with my visa and just like the hurdles of being a foreign artist in the United States. So as I'm explaining all of the hoops and the hurdles for that, cut to a couple weeks later, she's like, oh, I've written the script. It's called Patiri in the Promised Land. So Patiri is about a girl who literally finds out that her visa is expiring literally tomorrow, the next day, and she has to jump through hoops to find out to stay. And it's about having a dream and I guess supposedly doing whatever it will take to stay.
It's a story that a lot of young Africans, a lot of young Zimbabweans, if we're going to be specific, can relate to. And this is not just about a case of what's happening in America, but that's Zimbabweans across the whole globe, the challenges that they face and the loopholes that they have to go through. How important was it to you to be able to tell the story?
It was important to share this idea of why we leave the places that we're from. So being the daughter of diplomats and being the daughter of immigrant parents, they work so hard for you to get for you to have a better life. And so it's this idea of, so luckily I'm privileged, but not many people are as privileged as I am. And knowing that that also factors in that maybe you can't afford immigration fees, or the maybe you've found yourself in a community, or you're in a relationship with someone, and then all of a sudden it's like you have to pack up and go. You're making a name for yourself because you want a better life for yourself. And in the end, to hopefully give back and bring that back to the country, and also to take care of the people who've sacrificed so much, or to take care of the people who are still back home. People do leave Zimbabwe not wanting to leave.
Right.
But it's about looking for the opportunity.
If there's one thing you seem to have highlighted, is the fact that you really want to tell Zimbabwean stories. Why do you find that so important?
Growing up, going to schools with rich kids, Zimbabwe's economy hasn't always been the best. I literally went to school with a girl that when we were on one of the expeditions that I mentioned, she could go into a shop and say, this, without looking at a price tag. Mm-hmm. I went to school with people like that. My holiday was my mom saying, gara unyore, like, write an essay about what you did today. Well, that was not necessarily a bad thing, you know, and then going back to school and people are like, what did you do with your summer? And I'm like, I was at home, you know, studying. They were like, oh, I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a lot of shame with being Zimbabwean, especially when I would tell other people that I was Zimbabwean. I would get reactions that, oh, you poor thing, or like, oh, how is Zimbabwe doing? How's the economy? Or like such and such about this president or that candidate or this party or that party, you know? Mm-hmm. So there wasn't always like a positive association with Zimbabwe. It dawned on me that, you know, I have this wish to give back the arts education that I wish that I had growing up. Mm-hmm. But I also never want anyone to feel the way that I felt, to feel bullied because they were different. Mm-hmm. And then I also do it for my 5-year-old self. Aww. I think about her. I think about all the joy that she has and the dreams that she has. Mm-hmm. And then I remember that there are girls like her right now, growing up, who need representation, who need to know that it's okay to be Zimbabwe, that it's you know, it's cool to be Zimbabwe. Hence why I decided to start the podcast, Zoom Excellence.
Tell us a little more about this podcast.
I'm jealous of the Nigerians because Niger no de carry last. Yvonne Orji does this Nigerian Night of Excellence, and she's literally in this group chat called Waves, so West African Voltron. A bunch of just movers and shakers within the Nigerian community doing amazing things around the world, and they just like show up for each other. And I'm like, yo, I want that for Zimbabwe. Then the pandemic hit, and I found myself getting closer to like a whole community of Zimbabwean artists based in the United States. And now that's kind of grown to about like globally, we kind of like keep in touch, which is great. And I had all this time, so I'm like, I want to do a podcast, but I don't just want it to be artists. Like, I want to talk to people in sport. I want to talk to people in business. But then I also want this to be, you know, a way that I can give back.
Well, Muriya Zimbabwe, that was Vongai Shaba, accomplished actor who's looking for a way to give back. Unfortunately, we couldn't give you the full conversation, but it's going to be available soon on our YouTube page, on our official YouTube page, VOA Zimbabwe. So, Muriya Zimbabwe, go ahead and subscribe, and you'll be able to catch the full interview with Vongai Shaba. For those that are looking to chat with her, she is on Instagram, Vongai Official. That is, once again, Vongai Official. And of course, for those that are looking to catch the podcast that is going to be launching next week, Wednesday, Zim Excellence, a podcast on Instagram, to check out Wongai's website at www.wongai.com. So, Muri Zimbabwe, we are reaching an end of our program. 2 minutes left, just to go through a recap of some of the comments that people have been writing. I see Trust Arunyuratu. Hi, Mike, watching you live from Botswana. Dumelang Ntate. Trust, kia leboga. Thank you so much for joining us. And that is where Vigi says ZANU-PF was deliberately closing the democratic space, as it is because they're reviving the National Youth Service for political expedience, but the opposition and civil society are forbidden to do any programs. The regime is hiding behind the COVID-19 protocols. Thank you so much for your input. Muriya Zimbabwe says, Figile Maputuleni Otlelo Letru, Lobasa Kulayo. Thank you so much to all my guests that joined me. Pano Pachirongwachiluchevichniki. We had, of course, Ngosikhona Dibiti. We had Ashley Punye. And, of course, Osakulayo, as we wrapped up, Vongai Official. Muriya Zimbabwe, I go by the name of Mike Hove. I am your host of The Connection. For those that are looking to catch up with me, I I am on Instagram and Twitter at BigMike3. Mune Zimbabwe, mchoka kumuhle, siyabonga ngokungena kuhlelo. Let's meet same time, same place, pano pachirongwa chembishwe chiniki, anokoneka ine mfaro, ndini wenyu Mike Hove, mchoka kumuhle, Zimbabwe muhle, bye-bye!